does deserve it.
Yes. Amen.
Everything that you say about him, positive, he deserves. The negative things that we say, he doesn't deserve. Because if you think about some of the negative things that we're blaming God for, how much of it did you cause? Is the question. Because oftentimes God is telling us to do something, but because it doesn't look like what it should look like, it doesn't feel how it should feel, we say, God, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. God, you done led me astray. You made me go the wrong way. And he's like, no, I didn't. I told you to do something else, but I still got to let you go that way because you're going to go that way anyway. So, yes, he did allow you to fall, but he tried to prevent the fall before you fell. Thank you, ushers. As you guys see, they all have their shirts on. They look great. They did a great job. Jay Sean got his. He miraculously found it. The shirt that was lost, he found. Just like us, we were once lost and went astray, but he found us. But I thank you guys for coming today. The rain could have stopped you. Your car could have stopped you. Your kids, anything could have stopped you. But you pressed on to get to church. Because we press on to get anywhere else. You got to go to the grocery store. You press on. You got to get to work. You press on. You got to get to see that girl or guy. You press on. So for you to make it to church means that it was something that God wanted to give to you. You knew you had to get. And so I thank you for that. And I thank God for allowing us to get here, because you look outside, it looks like I'm just going to stay in and I'm going to be a stay at home Christian today. I'm going to turn it on TV or what have you. But you decided, I do a lot of things, but this is the one thing that I'm going to do. So I'm thanking God for allowing me to do that. And if you guys can get your Bibles, your phones, your tablets, wherever you have the word, and just raise it in the sky, repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
My life is the better.
My life is the better.
By hearing. Reading.
Reading.
And doing. The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Today's message, we all need a little help. And if you're being honest, how true is that? No matter how great you get, no how much money you have, you need help at some point. And the scripture that I want to focus on is a story that a lot of people know about, and it's the story of Lazarus. But before we dive into it, I'm going to read the scriptures that I'm going to talk about. And that's John 11, verses 43 through 44. Beginning at 43, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen stripes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus to them, "Unbind him and let him go." One of the great things about Jesus' earthly ministry is that he was willing to associate with his disciples. He was willing to associate with his disciples. Because if you know Jesus, he really didn't need anybody else. So the fact that he was willing to associate with the disciples says that he was willing to associate with us. He was willing to associate with normal people. See, as Christians, oftentimes we get on our high horse, and we're not willing to associate with people who don't look like us. We're not willing to associate with people that aren't believers. We're not willing to associate to people that don't dress correctly.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said, "I don't care what you look like, I'm going to associate with you."
Right.
Because I know the only way that you're going to believe in me is if I come down and talk with you.
Yeah.
The Christian says, "I'm not going to come down and talk with you because you're not on my level." Well, if you look back at your life, maybe yesterday you was on that level. So the fact that you have stretched a little bit away from that level says that God still has control over your life. It says that God is still working on you. But we get so high as Christians and we say, no, I'm not going to help this person because he doesn't need it. He doesn't look like he needs it.
All right.
Well, we going through so much right now, you oftentimes don't look like you need help. Because your pride will say, I don't need anybody to help me. I got this under control. But see, your pride will also get you into some dark places where you don't have it under control. And you decide that you're going to do something that's going to affect a lot of other people. It's that pride thing. Because we all at some point are going to need a little help. And how does this relate to Jesus? Because although Jesus could do any and everything in his power, he still said, I'm going to allow the disciples to help.
That's right.
So let me get this straight. A man with this much power said that I'm going to allow somebody to help me. Corey, with this much power, you mean I can't say somebody can help me? That's backwards. Because again, Jesus had, I can't even reach how much power he had. And he's allowing people to help him. But we as the Christians say, I don't need anybody to help me. I'm going to get to where I'm going to get to off my own free will. But that free will that you got was given to you by God.
Amen.
Now, he sent Peter and John to prepare the upper room for the Last Supper. Again, Jesus is allowing the disciples to do their work. A later occasion, now one thing that he couldn't allow anyone to help him with is when he went to Calvary and died. Because nobody else was going to be able to take care of them sins. He said, I got to do this. I got to leave y'all for a little bit. But don't you worry, I'll be back. But again, the Christian, the disciple said, hey man, what you mean you're going to be back? We got it good right here. Where you going? Just when I need you, why you leaving? Does that sound like your story?
There we go.
Does that sound like you when you said, God, you brought me this far. Why are you leaving me now? Why are you putting me in a storm when you didn't raise me this far?
Listen to this.
Why have you brought me this far and now I'm struggling? Why did you bring me this far to lose everything? Sometimes God has to bring you this far and drop you down because you've gotten a little bit too high and you don't know who God is anymore. So he brought you up. But sometimes he got to break you all the way down. Because if he just breaks you down a little bit, you still think you got it. But see, sometimes he got to take the whole rug away from you so you can fall on your face. And you can say, God, I need you. Because if you fall on your face, you don't got nowhere to look but up. And when you look up, guess who's there?
Lord,
my two daughters, they're sisters. And you guys know how siblings are. They will argue. But they love each other so much, it's funny because they will argue about things. One's playing with something and the other one wants it. And they're not even thinking about it before the other one gets to it. And it's just crazy to me. So Kylie, she's my little muscle. She's not going to ask no questions. She's going to take over the situation and take care of it. You mess with her sister, she got a problem with you. But she going to mess with her sister. And Corey, she's not going to step to the problem. She's going to be like, quit Kylie, or she's going to push her or do whatever to get away from her, but she's not going to cause a problem. Kylie say, I'm the solution. And so last night, when we had played Scrabble or whatever, and they were arguing about something, and they just had been arguing and bickering. And so we like, look, y'all going to bed, because y'all done did too much. It's night's over. So Corey was upset that she had to go to bed. Cause she older, so she don't think she should go to bed at the same time as Kylie. So she thinks she's supposed to stay up a little bit longer, even if it's 10 minutes. She thinks she's supposed to be, I'm older. So I get up there and we talking. Corey's upset. She said, Kylie's being bossy. And I'm like, you really not upset about that. You upset because we made you go to bed. And so I talked to him and I said, regardless of what's going on between y'all are sisters. And y'all got to love each other regardless. And regardless of what's going on in your situation and who has left you and who's still there, the one constant is always going to be God. And so I explained to them that regardless of what it may look like around you and your sister's not getting along with you, I can guarantee that she loves you. And regardless of when you think God has left you, I can guarantee
that he loves you and he's still there. Because if you really want to be honest with it, God didn't leave. The person that left is, look in the mirror and you'll find out. Because really, if you look in the mirror, you still going to see God because you are made in his image.
Yeah.
But also, you're going to see yourself and say, God, I really left you. Because if I look around at my blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings, I know you ain't left me.
Yeah.
But guess what? I put you to the side and I put you in second place sometimes. Because I feel like, Corey, I've made it. And while he did ask them to help, there were times where the disciples couldn't do anything. When the storm came, if you know the story, the disciples got scared and they went downstairs and said, Jesus, how are you sleeping in this storm? And I imagine he was like, don't you realize that the fact that I'm on this boat, that storm shouldn't matter to you? The fact that I'm in your life, you shouldn't be worried about the storm. In your life, yes, you're going to have a storm. Just like those disciples were on that boat. Jesus is telling you, the fact that you're in the storm doesn't matter. The fact that I'm in the storm with you is what matters.
That's right.
We all need a little help. And Jesus is saying, you need a little help, but guess what? There are times when I'm giving you an opportunity to do some work, but you're not willing to do it. I want your help in this area. He said, Corey, you have two daughters. I want your help in this area of raising them. Okay, you don't have any children. You have friends. He said, I can't get to your friends because there's so many things distracting them. So he said, Corey, there are some friends I need you to talk to because I need your help because they'll listen to you, but they're not ready to listen to me because they don't know me. They can't trust me because they don't know me. There's some people on your job who God hasn't got to yet, so he needs your help because he needs just a little help, just a little window to get in. And you might be the only door that's going to help him access it.
Amen.
But see, you say, well, God, this isn't the time nor the place for me to be talking about you. He said, was it the time or the place when I blessed you yesterday? Was it the time and the place when I brought you out of the storm that you was in yesterday? Was it the time or the place when you healed, when you was healed? Was it the time or the place when you talked to your mama and she said, I didn't have no more money and you was able to help her? Was it the time and the place when your bills were paid? He said, it was always the time and the place when you needed me, but what about when I need you? That's the scary part is, we call on God always when we need him, but when he needs us, it's, God, I got to wait a minute. God, I got to get cleaned up. God, I'm just not ready. God, I just don't know if this is the right time. God, I just don't know how to talk to them. God, I just feel like I can't do it. God, I don't know where to turn. He said, that stuff don't matter because I'm standing here right now. So all you got to do is go and I'll take care of the rest.
All right.
He said, just let me work a little bit. And I can handle the rest. It says you must have a faith of a mustard seed. And the mustard seed is so small, you might not be able to see it if somebody had one in their hand. But you just need that much faith for God to do a whole bunch. Because if you have mustard in your house, it came from a mustard seed. And those big old bottles of mustard, that to see that seed and to think what happens from it, you know if you have that little bit of faith, what God has the ability to do.
That's right.
Think about it this way. You know when you was born, you was very small. And then at your thinking, when you're 1 year old, you could never think about being an adult. You couldn't think about growing up to be that big. Growing up to eat that much food. Growing up to have that many toys. Growing up to have that much money. And to that much money is could be $20 to a 1 year old. But guess what? Because God is so big, that little bit that you have when you're little turns into a lot because he expanded it and blessed it. Only Christ has the authority to command death to come forth. In the story, there were Lazarus' sisters. They came to Jesus like, hey, if you would have just came, my brother would be okay. My brother wouldn't have died. And I imagine they were saying this some other kind of ways. Because they knew his power. They knew what Jesus was capable of. So they was probably not so nice as I'm being right now saying, Jesus, if you could have came, he would have been okay. They probably had some other choice words to say to him because that's their brother.
Yes.
You know, your family member, you standing up for him. So they like, hey, if you would have just been there, he wouldn't be dead and we wouldn't be having this problem right now. You know, they was front with him. He said, look here, don't y'all worry about that because when I get there, he will be okay.
Yes.
In your life, if you haven't accepted Jesus, when he gets in your life, you will be okay.
Yeah.
Even if the doctor said you're going to die tomorrow and you accept him today, you will still be okay. Because your suffering here on this earth doesn't even matter, because when you get to heaven, you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to worry about people talking about you. You don't have to worry about people saying you're going to die. You don't have to worry about people saying you don't have any money, because guess what? Everything is taken care of. The debt that you have is already paid. Now, Jesus got there, and when he got there, what did he do? He went in there, and y'all know it was stinking in there.
That's right.
Because the body had been there for 3 days. So, you know, they have no embalming fluid and all that back then. They were just letting people die and they get them out. But they didn't get all prepared. You know, we have a funeral, they got the bodies off. It doesn't stink when you go to the funeral because they took care of the body.
Right.
Jesus showed up 3 days later, not the next day, 3 days. So by that time, you know it was the odor.
Ripe
is a good word. And Jesus walked in there and he said, Lazarus, get up. And he walked up out of there. But nobody talks about the fact that when Lazarus got up, he was still bound. He was still bound. He got up and came out, but he's still like this in chains. But guess what? He asked his disciples, he said, hey, go untie him.
Yeah.
Go take the bandages off.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus is saying. Some of you are around some people that are alive, but they still dead. Because Jesus said, I need you to go take some bandages up off of them.
Yeah.
I need you to tell them about me.
Mm-hmm.
So take those bandages off of those people so I can truly show people who I am.
Yeah.
Because if he left the bandages on, people might say, that's not really Lazarus, that's somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you know, people are going to try to deny God at every turn. They're going to try to deny Jesus' power at every turn. They're going to say, no, it's science. No, it's just happenstance. So he said, hey, disciples, what I need y'all to do, when I tell him to get up, I need y'all to go in there and take the bandages off. So that people can see that I told him to rise, and look what happened. I asked the death. The dead, get up. And they did it. And then I need your help, disciples, to come and take the bandages off. So God is saying, I need your help, Christians, to come and take the bandages off of people that have in their mind that they dead. He is a living man clothed in garments of death. Because the only way that they had to protect bodies back then was that's where you get the term mummy from. They would wrap them up in bandages and then bury them in a tomb.
My God.
So they would wrap them up, hoping that that was going to protect the body. And so Jesus had to come and tell them to get up. And he wobbled on out there. And you can imagine the people who didn't believe said, that's not him. That's somebody else. They playing a trick on us. Because he's been dead for 3 days and it stinks in there.
Yeah.
So I know that his body is still in there because he was dead.
Yeah.
But Jesus probably, in my mind, was thinking, I was dead too. And 3 days later, I rose and y'all still thought I was in there, but I had to show y'all the nails in my hands and the nails in my feet to show y'all that I'm alive. His power is still working today. When I think about my life, some accidents that I've been in, some hospitals that I've been in, ready to die. When you look at the car when I flipped it over,
yes,
I should have been dead, but I got out of my car with not a bruise or a scratch. Because God said, come out of there. The things that you're struggling with, it might be alcohol, it might be drugs, but God is telling you to come out of there. And somebody else might have to be the disciple to get the bandage up off of you. Because some of those bandages are wrapped so tight that you can't escape it. Even though God has called you out of it, because you're so far away from God, you can't hear the voice that he's calling. So when you get too far, you hear somebody calling you, but you're not sure if they're calling your name. So he says, Corey. But you like, is it me? Is he talking? He talking to the other quarter. He's not talking to me. So he gets your friends to say, no, he called you. You know when you got siblings and y'all do something?
Yes.
And or you did something and your sibling was there and your other sibling, no, you didn't do it. And then your mom called and say, she was calling you. That was you that did it. I didn't do that. She was talking to you, so you need to go. And so sometimes your friends, who are your real friends, not those fake friends, they tell you, hey, there's some things in your life that you need to change. And it's not they talking, it's God helping them talk to you because he needed a little help at the time to get through to you. Because oftentimes you can't hear God because he's telling you the right thing to do. He's telling you to go through that narrow path, but you want to go through the wide because it's easy. Wouldn't it be awful if you had to walk around wearing the garments of dead people all the time? So why is it that once we're free and alive, why do we still wear the death clothes? Why do we still struggle with the things that we don't have to struggle with anymore? I tell you why, because we say we believe, but our actions don't say the same thing that we believe. You say you love God, but yet when your neighbor needs a little bit of help, you just walk right past him. You say you love God, but yet you don't even know where your Bible is. You say you love God, but yet you haven't talked to him and I don't know when. The last time you talked to him was Mother's Day. Because your mama asked you to come to church. The last time you talked to him was Christmas because it's cliche to go to church on Christmas. The last time you talked to him, you was in trouble about to go to jail. So you said, God, I really need you to come through. You bartering with it. Yeah. If you do it this time, I'm going to change my life.
Listen to this.
But guess what? God is so great, he going to do it even if you don't change your life. Because he knows your thoughts. He knows your true heart. He knows you're just saying this because you want him to get you out of a situation. Knowing that you're not going to change in the reality. But he's like a parent. A parent will tell you to do something and you don't do it, but they still love you. And even though they know that you're going to mess up, they still say, come on, I still love you. I'm going to fix your mistakes, but I'm going to have to let you fall sometimes so that you hopefully can learn from them. But see, the difference between God, Jesus, and your parents is your parents only get to a certain point where they can help you.
That's right.
Your parents are eventually going to get up out of here and you're going to be by yourself.
That's right.
And they can't get you out of trouble.
That's right.
But Jesus already got you out of trouble. Jesus already saved you from sin. Jesus said, guess what? I'm going to go on this cross and I'm going to die.
Listen.
And people going to think that they killed me, but they don't understand that I let myself die. I told Father, go ahead and take this. Go ahead. I'm giving it back to you. So when I die, I'm removing all that bad stuff, that sin that's up on you. All you don't have to worry about that sin anymore because I'm taking care of it right now. Even though I'm taking care of a debt that you never could pay, I'm going to pay it for you. But he said, some people don't hear me, so I need a little help from some of my Christians out there, some of my disciples out there. I need you to help just a little. Now, what are old clothes? What are grave clothes? There's divisions in the church. There's carnal thinking. There's fornication. There's indifferences. And there's people just doing whatever they want. There's stealing. There's murdering. All these things are grave clothes. These things are keeping us bound up and not free. Bound up even though we're alive. Being Lazarus and nobody has taken the bandages off of us yet. So we understand that, yeah, I'm alive. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But I ain't able to do nothing yet. Because I still got these bondages, these bandages up on me. I still am shackled to the things that are holding me back. But he said, I'm going to send a ram in the form of somebody else to help you. I'm going to send somebody else to make sure that I can get those bandages up off of you. Because if you don't trust me yet, I guarantee you trust somebody else. And so I send that person to help me get the bandages up off of you. Aren't we so glad that we serve a God that says, if you won't listen to me, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going until you finally listen. even if I have to send somebody else through me to help you hear me. How many of us know somebody that is alive, but they not moving yet?
Yes.
In our own lives, where are there areas that God hasn't entered into, and we just standing there not able to move? Because there are areas in all of our lives where we're struggling with something. Not because God couldn't cure it, and not because God couldn't heal you from it, not because God can't bring you out of it, because you're not allowing Him to. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But because we don't think God has the ability to do anything, and we're not allowing Him to do it, you don't change. When God said He's going to do something for you, that's the end of the story. It's already taken care of. All you have to do now is walk in that faith. Because guess what? Even if your faith starts as a mustard seed, every step you take, it grows and grows and grows. And then guess what? Just like a tree, it becomes so big that it really can't fall unless something by nature comes and knocks it over. And the only force of nature that can knock a Christian that is grounded in the foundation of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ Himself. And if He knocks me over, I'm okay, because I'm going to be with Him. Mm-hmm. People are afraid to really bow down to Christ, because that means that I'm no longer in control. That means I need help.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay if you need help. Because if you remember back in school when you were learning, you didn't know it all.
Right.
So you needed help at that point. Just like being a Christian. You don't know it all. So the fact that you're not reading your Bible, the fact that you don't come to church, to anything else, that means you know it all. And I don't know a Christian that knows it all. I don't know a Christian that's perfect. So there are always things that we can get better at. And there's always things in the Word of God that can show you how to be better. But there are also people who can help you break some of those bondages that you have. But you got to be willing to reach for those people.
That's right.
But because you don't want to reach, you stay bound. There are times when we need assistance, and there are times when we're called upon to give assistance. See, we need the assistance. I get that. But the hard part is when God calls on you to be the assister, are you willing to pass the ball? That's the hard part, because everybody wants to be the star player. Everybody, God needs me. I got to do this. I can't help you. But a part of God needing you and using you is you helping someone else. It says, go out to the masses and share my word. Don't go into just you in your closet and share my word. That's good that you know it. But what about your cousin who's on drugs who doesn't know me? Can you assist him? What about your coworker who doesn't believe in me, who actually is worshiping demons? What about him? Can you assist me in getting to him? And he's not saying that you got to come in there with your Bible and slap it on their desk and say, you need to believe this. Because we all know that's not going to work.
That's right. That's right.
But what he is saying is, the things that I've taught you, I need you to walk in them. So when they see you, they know that they can't touch you. But they may start a conversation with you asking you why you act like this.
That's right.
And guess what? Although it's a small door, it has been opened. Or your friend who was about to commit a crime, and he says, man, you want to come with me? You say, no, I can't do that because I'm a child of God and I don't believe that we should be doing that. You could instantly change them from going to jail and going to get a job because you said something.
That's right.
That's right.
Or what about those people who are walking around saying things against Christ and you just walk past and ignore them? Now, I'm not saying you got to go up and fight them. What I am saying is you can say, hey, you know, that's not what I believe. This is who Christ is, and this is what He believes. You can do it in a way where you're not causing a problem or a scene. But don't be afraid of being a martyr. I'm not telling everybody to go out and get killed for the gospel. I'm not saying that, because somebody will run and say, Corey said we ought to go out here and die for the gospel. I'm not saying that you just go out and let somebody kill you. But what I am saying is, you can't just walk by and allow people to talk about Christ, and you just walk by as if nothing is happening.
That's right. Now, Corey, how can I do that and not get killed? I don't know. What I do know is, if I stand with God, no man can harm me.
All right.
Well, Corey, he killed you, but really, did he harm me? Because if I die, what does that mean? I don't have to be here with y'all no more. And I love y'all to death, but guess what? If I'm not here anymore, that means I don't have to suffer anymore. I'm not saying I don't love y'all and I don't want to be here. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you love God and you want to be with Him, you know your ultimate purpose is to be there. So if you have to die because you showing somebody else who He is, and you was able to change their way of thinking, who then they started believing in God, your work here is done. We always have work to do, but your ultimate work is to get Christ's word out. So if it causes me to sacrifice my life, then it wasn't my life to begin with. That's what we have to realize, and that's the hard part is, it's not really our life to begin with. It's His life, because He created you. He made you who you are, and He's the one driving this whole thing. So regardless of you're a man-made millionaire or self-made this or self-made that, basketball player, blah, 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 it is God who has allowed these skills to be put inside of you and allow you to use them for His good. Amen. There are two basic reasons why people are still wearing their grave clothes. One is they're like a butterfly in the cocoon. As an unbeliever, sin is a way of life. You're wrapped in sin, and you're sought for fleeting peace and safety. So you're wrapped in sin like that's your cocoon. As an unbeliever, that's your cocoon. And you know the butterfly goes, well, the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and they're wrapped around to turn into a butterfly. As a non-believer, you're wrapped in sin, so guess what? You turn into a continuous sinner. But because we serve a God, you went into this cocoon of sin. He died on the cross, and then when you come out, you a butterfly who's now praising Him. And people are seeing your colors everywhere you fly around. But see, if you never change over, people don't ever get to see you come out as a butterfly. They see you always in a cocoon of sin. And eventually, you got to break free. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to break free, but you're going to break free to hell. Not break free and become this butterfly that goes to heaven. Amen. That's scary.
Yeah.
When you know that you're going to hell.
Amen.
And the more scary part is, you know that you can change it and you don't.
That's right.
That's scary. I'm not so much concerned about people who don't know. I'm more concerned about people who do know and they do nothing about it.
That's
scary. Because you've made it up in your mind that I'm willing to go to hell. I'm willing to go ahead and die and go to hell and never be with Christ. That is more concerning to me. Number two. The grave clothes were left on so that the disciples might enter into a rare fellowship with Christ. They could say, "Our Lord raised Lazarus and I was there to help unloose him from his grave clothes." Isn't that a great thing to think about? Because we all want to celebrate ourselves. So later on when the story is told, you can say, guess what? God got that person, but it was because I allowed him to use me to talk to him about God. That's not boasting yourself, it's boasting God, because you was able to talk to them about who Christ is to you. Or you were able to walk a life daily where people saw Christ in you. The Lord binds the stronger to the weaker in love by permitting the stronger to help the weaker. But on the other side, that person is strong where the strong person was once weak. So there are two reasons why brothers and sisters in Christ are to be quick and ready to help each other in the removal of our grave clothes. One, the Lord commands it. He encourages us to comfort the feeble and support the weak. If He commands a thing, there's a need and there's no other reason for us to question it. Number two, there's also every child of God has at some time felt the pressure and imprisonment
of the grave clothes of our past.
Amen.
We should be the first ones to sympathize with those people and run to their aid when they're in need. Selfishness and pride are arrogant sins, and God hates them all. We must be willing to follow the example of Jesus and sacrifice for the benefit of others, and so that the name of Christ will be glorified. So I ask you today, although you have made it this far in life through the grace of God, He's helped you in so many ways. My question and my closing is, are you willing to help Him when He calls you? Because we all need a little help.
Amen.
Now, ultimately, that message was for everyone, not just the unbeliever, but it was for the believer too. The believer, it says, there's some people in your life who need my help, but they don't trust me just yet, so I need you to help me get to them. And then for the unbeliever, he's saying, you don't have any help right now. I want to be able to help you. I want to be able to be there in your defense when you go to the jury and it's time for you to die. I want to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You're coming home with me. But if you don't make a decision, you got no lawyer in the trial. You got a public defender, but that public defender is not paid the same way that your defender will be paid. So it's ultimately your decision, but understand you gonna need some help. So if you need help walking down the aisle to come to Christ, I'll come walk with you. Because Christ said, I need you, Corey, to help someone, whether it be at church, school, work, wherever, I need you to help someone. He also said, I don't need you to go to sleep and you haven't helped someone today. So if you don't know Christ, I ask that you come. And if you want this to be a group of believers that you want to start a new bond with, I ask that you come too. But whatever it is, I just ask that you come and don't let another day go by and you don't know Christ. Because you don't know when it's your time to leave up out of here.
Amen.
And when it's your time, you can't pay for a lawyer at that time. They gonna give you a public defender and they're gonna give you the ticket to hell. And regardless if you don't want it, you gotta take it. And there's no turning back.
Amen.
So as the choir prepares, I want you to think about in your heart if this is something that you really wanna do. Do you want a public defender or do you want the ultimate defender?
Amen.